Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, great to have you with us. William L. Bradbury's new novel, Preacher Boy, is the story of a small family and their grandpa. Through his work, he held them together. No matter the challenge, he was always there for his family. He's the one who fixes all the problems, and he is listened to by all of his family. His idea for the first boy, well, to be a preacher. Author William Bradbury was born and raised in southeast Kansas, a farm boy who never got to be a child. He started working in the farm at age 4, had to support himself by age 16. At 19, left the farm to work in the city. Over the years, doing various jobs, living in Indiana, Michigan, Arizona, and back to Michigan. While in Arizona, he took up writing numerous short stories. He took 2 courses in children's literature. He also has written 22 unpublished books. When not writing and reading, he carves birds and fish, builds lots of toys for his grandkids. William L. Bradbury, author of Preacher Boy, our guest on today's This Week in America. William, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
It is a fascinating book. It's great to have you with. This is a great story.
Thank you.
You know, you say in the book that this is a story that I have wanted to live and never got the chance. Talk a little bit about that, because this is sort of a fiction, nonfiction type of story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's something that I started with in 1995, Mayo Clinic, after 3 days of rigorous testing, told me I had 6 months to live. I was not very excited. I had just started having grandchildren, and I wanted to spend a lot of time with my grandchildren, and I wasn't going to get the chance. So I went to Arizona, Wickenburg, nice place. If you're sick, you got breathing problems, that's where you should go. After 10 years, everything was kind of like so much better. I still have some problems now, but people ask me, what happened to the 6 months? Well, I don't know, but maybe God's 6 months and my 6 months and doctor's 6 months is 2 or 3 different things.
Exactly.
I think now I'm on my 6th or 4th month. I have 2 more months to go.
Well, stretch them out like you have been, yes.
Pardon?
Yeah, just keep stretching them out like you have. This is just amazing. I was not familiar with that story and how many successful years you've had and all of the grandkids you've been able to interact with over all these years.
Yes, 18 of them, though.
That's just that's amazing. That's a handful.
Eight great-grandkids.
That is just...
I'm excited. I write because of a lot of things in not only the United States, but the world. There's so many children that God put here that is not being processed through his word and life like they should be. I mean, there's just a lot of parents that think this is just something now that happens. And these children grow up, and now we have problems with children that are raising children and still don't know how to be parents. And I just sat down one day and I said, I'm going to start writing books so that children will know what life is all about. They will understand what grandpas are for. They'll understand what dads and moms are for. And when they get to be old enough, they will know what to be. Parents of children, they will get. It's a strange thing in my life, but it's got something put on my heart. I pray for every book that I've written before I even write the first word. Most of the time I wake up at 2 in the morning and I've got this on my mind, and when I sit down and I write it down as a note, then I can go back to sleep. Eventually I put all these notes together and God bless, it becomes a book of somebody's life. Something that happens in normal life, like it happened in your life, it happened in my life. Maybe yours is better than mine. I had a dad that I didn't think much of. He was mean. He didn't really, I don't think he ever loved me. or my other seven brothers and sisters. Maybe he was never shown how to show love. I have to believe that because I'm supposed to honor my mom and my dad.
Yes.
And so I believe that he did not understand. Yet his dad, my grandpa, was one of the greatest guys I ever met. He cared. We could sit down and talk about things. He'd show me things. That's something my dad never did. And I see a lot of children today the same way. In Wickenburg, got involved in a Christian school. Even Christian parents are not up to date on what or why God gave that child to this earth. And this is kind of like I want, and I tell all these, in every one of my books, if you learn one thing as a child, whether it's you reading it or somebody reading it to you, you will know that things happen in this book because somebody prayed. And God lets things happen because you prayed.
And you bring that out so well in the book we're talking about on the program today, Preacher Boy by William Bradbury. His website is williamlbradbury.com. Information on the book there, and you can order the book there, book available wherever books are sold, the usual places, and you can link on directly to William's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting in the book, Grandpa Bill, and you're talking about he is one who believes that not only his voice, but also his actions are being heard and watched by everyone he has contact with. And I read that several times because that's so important. Talk about why you think that's important. It's not just words that count, but actions count as well, don't they?
This is very true. And I read the Bible a lot, and they used to tell me the most important word in the Bible is love. It's there more often than any other word. So I say, okay, the law of the Bible is love and wait. Love the most spoken word, wait the least spoken word. But if you pay attention, it's almost in every verse. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Then I read it again, and it says 598 times the word listen is mentioned in the Bible. I kept doing this, and I said, man, God must, he must want us to listen. That's one of the greatest gifts he gives us, is our ears to hear by. Without that, we wouldn't learn a whole lot. And so by listening to the word and listening to the voice, if you pronounce it in the right sequence or whatever, then a child will pay attention. If you do it in a harsh manner, a child will not pay attention. Because basically, any child, as it's raised up, the one important thing that's in that child is God Himself. And God Himself is love. The reason we're put here is for three P's: a promise, a purpose, and practice. Find the promise, Jesus Christ. Do the purpose, tell your friends and everybody about it in a Christ-like manner. And practice, practice, practice. So this is what I kind of put this all together, and people ask me, says, well, you talk about family all the time. Do you understand what family is? Yes, I do. Family is a father and mother instructing, loving young ones. That's a family. If that's not all in there, you don't have a family.
And that's the basis for what you're talking. Yeah, go ahead and finish that thought, please.
So to me, in my books, if I write, I write a lot of books about fatherless children, women that were abused, a child that was left, nobody to take care of. But eventually somebody in that story comes in to be a father image for that child. And that's what I want everybody to understand, that just because you're here as a man You're a father image for every child out there, whether it's 2 years old, 15 years old, or what. Everything you do, everything you say, your actions speak louder than words. This is true. If a child sees you not being a Christian, don't preach Christianity to him because he won't listen to you. So you have to be the source number one for the source number two, the child, to receive anything from. And it goes the same way with women, but not so much as it is with men, because God created man first. Man is the master. He's the master of any place, his home, his marriage, his business, whatever. The wife is to help him. So between the two, they raise the children when they're with the children. Today, somebody else raises our children, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, a school teacher, a babysitter, or some wild kid on the street. This is the thing that children need to learn, that just because somebody befriends them or plays to befriend to them, they want to be their best friend. Sometimes the best friend is the worst enemy you'll ever have in life. And it just goes on and on and on. And nobody wants to really do this. They don't want to teach all this in school because it's our education system believes this is a parent's responsibility. It is a parent's responsibility to get the child educated. It's also the parent's responsibility to see that the child is taught the proper things. We can't teach the children about laws of the country when the government of the country dissects and destroys the laws that was put there for us to do. And so this is just another image that everybody says, and God left everything. God is still here. God is sitting right there beside you, Rick, just like he's sitting right here beside me. His son, Jesus Christ, is coming between him and me to the Holy Spirit that lives within our body. And we are to get this through our mentality brain to do the proper thing. When we don't, something tells us we're doing wrong. When I feel things bad in my life, everything stops. I don't just go out and sit in the car and pray. I go where God says something. You go into closets, you shut the doors where there's nobody there but him and you. And that's what we should teach children. We teach them to pray for everything. When they go to bed, when they eat, when they get up, when they go to school, help me to do the right things. The right things, help me to stay away from the wrong things. And this is something that parents, in my belief, a lot of them do not do. There's some out there that are very, very good at it, and I commend them. I think they're the greatest people on earth. But there's so many out there that's doing the wrong thing. And I know that because there's too many small children, 14, 16, shooting somebody else, robbing, stealing, going to prison. There's a parent missing in that child's life. And there's just not enough human beings grown up that wants to get involved with doing this. I want to take all the proceeds from my book, and I want to help them children that do not need or get help. There's a place in Chad, Africa, the poorest country in Africa. Brother Bako was brought over here to Chicago, went to school, went back over there, and you know who he put him on, brought him over here? Billy Graham. Paid for his education. Right now, Brother Bako has gotten an orphanage over there that is hundreds and hundreds of acres that he's come back. One time to Advancing the Missions, he was here to two churches, got $330,000. That's how much people believed in what he was going to do.
Yes.
Now every country around Chad wants him to help them find out what happened in his life so they can do the same in their life. This is God at work. This is somebody that's going to teach these children how to do the proper things by growing their own food, making their own clothes, you know, everything in this orphanage. It's all self-supporting. This is just things that breaks my heart to think that in America, this could never happen. You know, if we want to adopt a child, the first thing they say, well, this is $30,000. Wow.
Yes.
What a way.
William,
what a way to start life.
William Bradbury is our guest on the program, and time going by way too quickly. Several minutes left on the show. The book we're talking about is Preacher Boy, William L. Bradbury, and that's his website, williamlbradbury.com. The book is full of solid Christian values, and talk about the writing process of that and the reaction that you're getting, because, again, this is a book that touches people on so many different levels. That has to have been a very positive experience for you in writing and getting this message out there.
It's just once I started, my oldest grandson told me, he says, Grandpa, why don't you write a book for me, about me? I did. I wrote a book in 1996 about my grandson and a pet that he wanted so badly that his folks would not let him have because of certain things. So it's about him and his dog. Then I wrote a story about my life. The evidence God was with me, now in me. All the things I've went through in my life. All the children that I've tried to help. And it's hard because if you help too much, there's parents out there that says, you can't teach my child this thing. Well, if you can't teach a child about Christ, then the child has no hope. And this is part of the reason why when I wrote this book and the other books I write, is never totally finished until I write it down, read back through it, fill in the places I, because for some reason my brain moves faster than my pencil, and so I just put a line and go on and start over again. So now I go back and I fill all these in. And it's never put down, and there's never a name put on the book until I am satisfied this is what God wants for me to tell somebody, for some child to read, some parent to read to. And it's so amazing today that this same book can be bought and put on your computer. And you can go down to your computer. You can read it to your child. You can do it on your iPads, on your telephone, and all these marvelous things that we have now to make things work. And every child and get this. And I just want to put not just a book out there. I want to put God's Son, Jesus Christ, out there. I want them to understand why Jesus Christ is here, why Christ came to earth as a sinless baby and went back to be with there. I want them children to learn that if they accept Jesus Christ, not only are they going to be someplace special, but they're going to get adopted back into the kingdom of God where they came from. And that's my whole heart and soul of when I sit down and read a book or write a book. I read probably 150 books a year besides. Because of my bad education, which I was a straight-A student and everything but English, I got through on C pluses and C minuses. I wanted to go to college. I couldn't go to college because they wanted to give me 3 more years of English. And I said, hey, I want to be a farmer. I don't think English is going to make any difference because there's cows and hogs and sheep out there. I understand what I'm
saying. True, very true.
And so this is my problem now. So I have to go through these books numerous times and numerous times. And then they're not edited properly. This book here was edited 3 times after I sent it to them. They keep saying, changing, changing, change. Please, don't change the title or what's in the story.
Well, the message is,
this is the way William L. Bradbury speaks. He's talking to you. You just listen to what it says.
Well, there we're back to back to that listening that you talked about it and how important that is. And it's just it's a very touching book, a powerful message, as I mentioned, with loaded with solid Christian values. It is a great book for everyone to read. Unfortunately, and I knew this was going to happen, William, the time has gone by way too quickly. The book is Preacher Boy by William Bradbury. Information on the book and information on William at his website, williamlbradbury.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to William's website. William, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. It sounds like a number of books that we could talk about. Hopefully, we'll have you back on the program. Thank you so much. I could feel your passion, and in reading the book, I could sense the passion as well. You're a talented writer and a gifted storyteller. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick.
It has been our pleasure. Preacher Boy by William Bradbury. His website is williamlbradbury.com. Of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.